$50. This record, ladies and gentlemen, I think speaks for itself. This is the fourth Information Please visit undertaken for the Treasury Department. The tour so far, with stops at Boston, Philadelphia, Hartford, and now Cleveland, has netted the sum of $250 million plus a few paltry millions that I shall not mention. So much for our respects to Mr. Morgenthau. And now our experts this evening consist of our tried and true trio, John Curran of the New York Sun, Franklin P. Adams, and Oscar Levant. And as our guest, the distinguished citizen and Information Please veteran, Mr. Leon Henderson. We're going to begin with a question from R.L. Pinney of Toledo, Ohio. And gentlemen, it is a question about Cleveland, so you had better be good. Who are these men whose outstanding careers started in the great city of Cleveland? Now, the first one was born in New Lisbon, Ohio, and made good as a businessman and a national political figure. Mr. Henderson, who was that?
Mark Hanna.
Absolutely right, Mr. Henderson. And Mark Hanna is famous for doing what, particularly?
Being the political manager for William McKinley,
yes.
Also another Ohio man.
Yes, quite right. You didn't look these things up before you came to Cleveland, did you, Mr. Henderson, by any chance?
No. But I've been in Canton, Ohio, where McKinley lived, and that's where I picked up the information.
Lucky for you. Lucky for you, Mr. Henderson. Now, how about this one? This one was born at Richford, New York, and made good as a bookkeeper, a wholesale grocer, and an oil refiner. Mr. Henderson again.
John D. Rockefeller.
John D. Rockefeller is right. And third, this one was born in Van Meter, Iowa. I have two hands, Mr. Levant.
Gee, his face is before me, that fast. Bobby Feller.
Yes. Robert Feller, what's he doing now?
He's in the Navy. Doing
He's in the Navy, and formerly a pitcher for whom?
A great pitcher for Cleveland.
A great pitcher for a great team, that's right. That gives us 3 out of 3.
I didn't say a great team.
I said. You're making friends here with your usual rapidity, Mr. Levant. Here's one from Clarence T. Simon of Evanston, Illinois, and it is a musical question, gentlemen. We're going to play 3 tunes. Tell me what famous American inventor is suggested to you by each of them. Let's have the first. Mr. Levant.
John Amici, the telephone. No, Bell, Bell.
Oh, you do know the original of John Amici.
I've been away too long.
Bell is right,
call
yes.
me up some rainy afternoon.
That's right. I bet you never knew that Don Amici got that idea from a real man. Yes, that's the first of them.
Yeah.
And now the second. I still have Mr. Levant's hand.
See them shuffling along. That's Robert E. Lee. Let the boys take that. Robert E. Lee is the name of the song. See
yeah.
them shuffling along. See
now,
them.
You gentlemen get the idea. What it's famous American inventor is suggested by that? Mr. Levant has started your walk.
Fulton?
Fulton is right, Mr.
Robert
Levant. Mr. Henderson, what were you going to say?
I was going to say Robert Fulton.
Yeah, well, that's all you have to be able to do to be an expert in this program. And just say it about 30 seconds late. Another famous American inventor, less famous than Fulton, whose name is associated with the steamboat. Mr. Adams, do you know? I thought I saw a look in your eye.
Steamboat Bill, I guess.
Right, Mr. Curran, Fitch. And now the third and last. Mr. Levant's good at this game.
You ought to be in pictures. Who invented pictures?
That's the trouble. Mr. Curran?
Mr. Edison. Thomas Alva Edison.
Yes, Thomas Alva Edison. There are a number of Frenchmen associated with early motion pictures, but the famous American inventor is Thomas Edison. That gives us 3 out of 3 and sends us on to a question from Edith V. Weeks of Ogden, Utah. According to poetry or song, what was described as, quote, childlike and bland? Mr. Adams.
Smile.
Whose?
Ah, Sin.
That's right. Can you prove
he
it to
smiled
him?
As he smiled as he sat by the table with a smile that was childlike and bland.
Very good, Mr. Adams, and it's from what poem?
Plain Language from Truthful James.
By?
F. Bret Hart.
I knew you knew it all along, Miss Adams. I was trying to get it out of you, Mr. Levant.
That's a description of an ulcer diet, too.
That's true enough. What was described as pale and still. Pale and still. This, again, is from a famous poem. Mr. Adams.
Sounds like a moon to me.
No. Those
hands?
What did you say, Mr. Levant?
I just lifted my hands. Pale hands? No.
No, no. Mr. Kieran?
Is that from Walt Whitman?
Yes, it is.
That is from Captain, Oh My Captain.
And right, Mr. Kieran. Can you give us the line?
Yeah, I'm afraid that I'll have to go all the way back to the beginning of the poem.
Well, this is only a half-hour program. My captain does not answer.
His hands are pale and still.
No, you got the wrong organ.
No, his lips are
pale and still. His lips are pale and still. Quite right. And finally, what is described as deep and dark? This, too, comes from poetry. Deep and dark.
Ketchup?
Mr. Kieran?
Too far.
It's from Childe Harold's Pilgrimage by Byron, and it's about the ocean. Roll on, thou deep and dark blue ocean roll. Does that come back to you, Mr. Adams, now? 10,000 what?
10,000 fleets sail over thee in vain. Time writes no wrinkles on thine azure brow.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kieran. Very good. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3.
Oh, yeah.
From Grafton, West Virginia, Edward J. Fallon thought this one up. Who was the first woman to hold the following offices? The first office is that of state governor. The first woman to hold the office of state governor, Mr. Henderson.
Ma Ferguson?
I think before Ma Ferguson. Mr. Adams?
I think that was Nellie Halo Ross of Wyoming.
That's right. She is elected in 1925 to fill the unexpired term of her husband. That was the case, too, with Governor Ferguson, wasn't it, Mr. Henderson? Same situation?
He used to interchange.
But I think a little later on in the game. How about this one? The first woman to hold the office of United States Diplomatic Representative. Mr. Levant.
Mrs. Borden. Mrs. Harrison.
No, not the first one.
I
that
gives
us 2 wrong ones, by the way. Mr. Henderson?
Ruth Bryan Owen?
Yes, that's quite right, Mr. Henderson. I wish you'd come in first. Ruth Bryan Owen, who is our minister to what country or countries, Mr. Henderson? Mr. Adams?
Norway.
No, yeah. But up around that region. Mr. Kieran?
Well, I think it was Sweden or Finland.
I think it was Denmark and Iceland.
Ah.
Well, you have practically everything, including the Scandinavian, Mr. Kieran. How about this one? The first woman to hold the office of judge of a United States Circuit Court of Appeals. Mr. Levant.
Miss Florence Allen of Ohio, Cleveland or something. Ohio, anyway.
Judge Florence Allen of Cleveland, appointed in 1934. Well, I think we had 2 wrong guesses right off the reel on that. That sends $57 in war bonds and stamps to Mr. Fallon and a set of the Encyclopedia Britannica and sends us on to a question for Miss Ruth Domkus of Linden, New Jersey. Here are the second lines, gentlemen, of some popular songs. I want you to give us the first lines. Is that clear? Take back your bribe and promise you'll be true. Give us the first line. Mr. Levant. Mr. Kieran.
Take back your gold, for gold can never buy me.
That is quite right, Mr. Kieran, yes. Mr. Adams, you were about to give us the same information.
I was about to sing it.
Take back your gold, for gold can never buy me.
Mr. Henderson, was that your voice raised in song, right, along with Mr. Kieran?
I was lowered in song that time.
I wonder whether I'd be glad to hear a stave or two from you, Mr. Henderson, no matter what the rest of these folks may wish. Maybe you can give us something on the next one. Here is the second line. That's the only thing I've plenty of. What's the first line? Mr. Kieran.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream around.
And I think these folks have paid over $5 million to come here. Here is the second line, but the first. Like a zephyr on the evening air. Mr. Adams.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair.
That's perfectly right, Mr. Adams. Very good. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3. We turn now to our Hines reporter, Ben Grauer, who offers wise suggestions on the use of that new American currency, the ration stamp.
Everywhere in this country, every civilian has been endowed by Uncle Sam with the same number of food ration points. We're all entitled to the same quantities of ration food. But there is a way to get plus value. You might call it a bonus for your ration points. And that's through buying quality. You can use these same ration points to buy Heinz world-famous tomato ketchup, or Heinz new condensed soups, so rich and homelike, or Heinz baby foods, backed by a 74-year-old tradition of quality. These take no extra points, but you do get a lot of extra value. You get the benefit of extra fine ingredients, treasured heirloom recipes that belong to Heinz, the extra special skill and care of Heinz chefs, extra time, effort, and research that go into the perfecting of Heinz methods of cooking and preserving foods. Beyond all that, there's that extra something that defies description. It's honest-to-goodness, homespun flavor, and you can always spot it in every one of Heinz 57 varieties. Heinz foods have always been a good buy for your money, and now they're an extra good buy for your ration stamps.
Thank you, Mr. Grauer. We'll go on with this one, which comes from C. Mildred Thompson, who is the dean of Vassar College at Poughkeepsie, New York, and who, as I recollect, is the only person who ever appeared on Information Please who got everything right. Mr. Adams, does your memory confirm me on that?
My memory says that she was wonderful.
She was wonderful. And let's see what she can do to you fellows now. How old were these men when they became president of the United States? Give the age of each within a year, either older or younger. That gives you 3 years within which to play. Franklin D. Roosevelt was how old when he became president of the United States for the first time, if you can remember that far back, Mr. Adams?
He would have been 48.
Mr. Levant?
51 or 52.
51 is exactly right. I wish I called on you first.
Well, I have my hand up first. It's just that you're prejudiced.
Oh. No, but I'd like to send a set of the Britannica to the dean of Vassar College. George Washington was how old within a year when he became president? Mr. Akira.
Just a minute. 32 from 89. 57 years old.
57 is exactly right. Very good. And a nice bit of mental arithmetic, Mr. Kieran. Born in 1732, as Mr. Kieran reminds us, inaugurated 1789. And finally, Theodore Roosevelt was how old when he became president? Within a year, Mr. Levant.
Within a year, I'd say 39 or 40.
Which do you say?
Well, you're older than I am. You're around 40. How old? I don't know.
Stop 40. Flattering me.
40.
Both of them are wrong.
42.
Which one?
42.
Which do you stick to?
42.
42. That's right. I hate to give it to you, but that's correct. Actually, he was 43. He was 43. But your first answer was 38, and if you don't mind, I'm going to send $57 in war bonds and stamps to Dean Thompson and a set of the Britannica.
Give him my regards.
They've got Britannica up there.
They've
got a set up there at Vassar, anyway.
They have a set up in Vassar?
Sure, that's how she looked that stuff up.
Try this one. This comes from Mrs. Richard C. Yates of Port Colborne, Ontario, Canada. Name two people associated with each of these places. And each of these places is an alley. The first alley is Peacock Alley. Mr. Levant.
Isn't that the old Waldorf?
Yes, it is.
Waldorf Astoria on 34th Street. That's within a year.
Yes. But I want you to name two people associated. Mr. Henderson?
Diamond Jim Brady and Lillian Russell.
Yes, very good. Diamond Jim Brady and Lillian Russell. Mr. Kieran?
How about Oscar?
The other Oscar. Oscar Cherky.
Is there another Oscar?
Yeah.
I never knew. This present Oscar dominates things, so I had no idea there was another
Incidentally,
Oscar.
Incidentally, I know Lillian Russell.
Mm-hmm. You knew Lillian Russell?
Yeah, not in the Peacock Alley, though.
This was during your younger days.
Naturally.
Yeah. You could say Oscar the Waldorf and Thomas Fortune Rhymes.
Yes. Yeah, those would be very good answers. Mr. Adams, did you have something else to say?
I think that Mr. Levant knew that because Lillian Russell married somebody from Pittsburgh.
Alexander P. Moore. He gave us a picnic when we were a kid.
Mm-hmm. That's an awful long way around to know Lillian Russell from. How about
better than not knowing her?
How about another alley, to wit, Allen's Alley? Name two people, Mr. Kieran.
Fred Allen in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And, the rest of his gang.
Yes, that's quite true. Let's have a couple of the names of the gang.
Socrates.
Who?
Socrates.
Socrates Mulligan. Yes. Yeah. Adams?
John Doe.
John Doe, yes. Mrs. Nussbaum. Falstaff Openshaw?
Falstaff Openshaw, yes.
Yes, any of the characters on that very excellent plug program. and the third, Our Alley. Our Alley, Mr. Kieran.
Sally, and the man who wrote it, Mr. Carey.
Yes, that's right. Very good. What's the poem?
Sally in Our Alley.
Sally in Our Alley. She is the darling of my heart, and she lives in Our Alley.
She lives down in Our Alley.
And I still say he's the same man who wrote God Save the King.
Mm-hmm. You said that a couple of months ago. I never looked it up.
Well, I looked it up, and it's right.
Now, how about Oscar from Tin Pan Alley?
This Oscar?
Yeah.
That alley kicked me out.
That was a good job. Alley, you part of both of us. How about this? Here's one from Mrs. M. Rabowski of New York City, and this again is a musical question, gentlemen. Give us a Shakespearean character who is suggested by each of these songs. Let's have the first.
Daddy. That's King Lear. Those three girls he had, those daughters.
Only one.
Which
only
one, one Kieran?
Cornelia.
Cordelia.
Yes, not Cornelia.
Well, I always think of Cordelia.
Yes, Cordelia, who was the one who was really fond of her father. That's quite right. Now the second.
Thinking he could play all night. I don't know.
Well, doesn't the name of that song come back to you, Oscar?
No, it strikes some chord, but you have no time to psychoanalyze that chord.
And a good thing, too. It's That Old Black Magic.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Mr. Kieran.
Othello, The Moor of Venice.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Magic?
Yes. The only magic that he used was to tell her of his moving accidents by flood and field.
That's a very good one, Mr. Kieran. Never would have occurred to me. That's very quick. I was thinking of something else also from Shakespeare, Mr. Adams.
That's what I thought of.
Well,
you did?
Oh, yeah. Do you want the witches in Macbeth?
That's the more obvious answer, Mr. Kieran, but yours is far subtler. How about the third and last? That's one wrong. Mr. Levant?
Hamlet.
Hamlet, what's being played?
Come to me, my melancholy baby.
Yes, my melancholy baby would be Hamlet. Is there any other character, Mr. Kieran, that might...
Melancholy Jaques?
Yes, melancholy Jaques, or the baby who was mewling and puking in her mother's arms is probably very melancholy, too.
That gives us too ugly as a mother.
Here's one from Helen J. Bowen of Mountain View, New Jersey. Things are not always what they seem, Mr. Adams, who told us that.
W.S. Gilbert.
W.S. Gilbert. All right. Actually, what are the following things? A bear's ear. A bear's ear. Assuming that it is not the ear of a bear, what is it?
Black market meat.
Well, Mr. Kieran, this is the first time in which I have a chance to tell you something about botany. It is a
probably,
yes,
probably either a flower or something like that.
That was very quick of you, Adam. Very quick of you. All I have to do is mention the word botany and you're right on the trigger.
Oh,
I don't know any bears. There are elephants here.
No. This is a sort of primrose, the auricula. The leaves resemble, it says here, a
what's
bear's
the Latin
ear.
Name of it?
Pardon?
What's the Latin name of it?
Oh, don't ask me that. Here, how should I know? Auricula is the first thought of it.
Auricula is
auricula,
the first?
Auricula, yeah. Does it come back to you?
Oh, no.
All right, one wrong. How about a cat's eye? A cat's eye, Mr. Henderson?
Well, that's a stone.
Yes, exactly. It's also an herb, I understand. But it is, as you say, a gem. And finally, gentlemen, what is a horse's neck? A horse's neck, Mr. Henderson?
That's a drink.
How is it made, Mr. Henderson?
I wouldn't know. I was born too late.
Mr. Adams?
Why, it's just ginger ale with a lemon peel in it.
And nobody ever put whiskey in it?
Never.
Not a horse's neck.
No? I have the information that it's made with whiskey, but I believe that information is incorrect. I always thought it was a temperance drink, too. That gives us 2 out of 3. Now the H.J. Hine Company is courteously surrendering its commercial time to us for just a few about war bonds. This month, the government of your country, which is you, is asking you to lend $13 billion to yourselves. The object of this transaction is to help to make sure that your property, your happiness, your family, and your lives are preserved for you. For make no mistake, this war is not won, and the peoples of the Axis mean to win it. If not this year, then 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 30 years from now. Investing in war bonds past the limit of your ability is one of the ways in which we can prevent this. The other way lies through the bodies of dead American soldiers. But those soldiers may be fewer in number. Buy, and buy again. So go on with the program with a question from Sarah Dittenhaver of Asheville, North Carolina. And I'm going to ask you to give us, say, three expressions that include the names of trees. I'll give you an example. She's pining away might be one of them, Mr. Kieran.
He has a heart of oak.
Heart of oak is a very good one. That gives us one tree. Let's get two more. Any expression which uses the name of any tree. Oh, we certainly ought to do better than that.
Willow Run.
Pardon?
Willow Run in Detroit. Oh. You can twist that anywhere you want.
Yes, it's the name of a tree, but it's a place rather than an expression.
Might
Mr.
be
Adams?
An expression. Tit Willow.
Oh, thank you, Miss Adams. It's very good.
Or Willow Whaley.
Very good. Mr. Henderson?
As you might say of that expression, that's an old chestnut.
Yes, that's very good, and particularly true of Mr. Adams' remarks often. Mr. Kieran?
Like Dead Sea fruit that tempt the eye and turn to ashes on the lips.
Ashes. Ash fruit.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's very good. It takes a long time for that to penetrate, Mr. Kieran, Mr. Levant.
A tree is a tree, by Gertrude Stein.
No, it's a rose. You can't turn a rose into a tree so quickly. How about the nursery rhyme, Hickory Dickory Dock, Miss Adams? Is that all right? Mr. Adams?
All right. I had a little nut tree, nothing it would bear.
Well, that is simply mentioning the name of a tree, but it is not an expression which uses the name
a
of a tree.
A nut tree?
Go to the nearest branch and buy war bonds. That isn't bad.
That's very good. Yeah. Very good. Mr. Levant, I think you can rest on your laurels. How about this one from Alfred Pohl of New York? Suppose you ran across these salutations on letters. What poet might the correspondent be quoting if this salutation were used? My own. Mr. Adams?
Might be quoting also Gilbert.
Yes, W.S. Gilbert. How do you know if that would be true, Mr. Adams?
Farewell, my own. Light of my life, farewell.
No more?
Da, 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 da.
Will you quit, Frank?
I quit.
I think this audience has got you intimidated, Mr. Adams. How about the salutation, my true love? If you found that, what poet or poem might be quoted? My true love. Mr. Adams?
Well, that would be an Elizabethan poet. I forget who it is. My true love hath my heart, and I have his.
That would be right, yes. I forget the name of the...
It might be...
I think it's Waller
Lovelace or Wither or one of those boys.
I'm not sure. I think it was Raleigh, but I'm probably wrong. Another poem, or rather song, that we're all familiar with that uses the term my true love is... But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Mr. Levant, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not a great folk song. I just didn't know it so far.
Yeah. The author of that is unknown. It's
Maxine Sullivan.
Maxine Sullivan is one of the popular writers. Now, suppose the salutation were, my one and only, Mr. Levant.
My one and only, what are you going to do if you turn me down? I'm simply crazy over you.
That's right, Mr. Levant. Who was it from?
George and Ira Gershwin.
George and Ira Gershwin's song, my one and only, and that gives us 3 out of 3. Tough thumping, you chaps, tonight. How about this from Paulie Schuler of Manoa, Pennsylvania? Complete each of these groups and identify them. I'll give you some of the members of a group. You give me the remaining member. The first group is House, Lansing, White, Bliss. House, Lansing, White, Bliss. Who is the one that's missing? Mr. Henderson?
Wilson.
Wilson, yes. And what group is that?
That's the group that went to Paris for the signing of the peace treaty.
Yes, exactly right, Mr. Henderson. The Wilson Peace Commission during the First World War. Now, here is another group. Pollux, Medius, Annular, Minimus. Mr. Adams.
Castor.
I beg pardon?
Castor.
Now, you're thinking of Castor and Pollux.
Yes, I was.
But that's... All right, don't quarrel. but I mentioned several other members of the group, of which Pollux, P-O-L-L-E-X, is one. Mr. Kieran?
Total.
Pardon?
Total.
No. How, what group do you think you're talking about?
Well, you say Annular in
I said Pollux, Medius, Annular, Minimus.
Got anything to do with astronomy?
No.
Sorry.
So. It's a tough one. The answer is index. Each of those four words that I named are the names of our fingers. And the last one is the index finger. That's one wrong. And finally, how about this one? Ball, hatch, hill. What member of the group is missing, Mr. Henderson? Ball,
they pulled that on me while I was out of the country.
Burton. Mr. Levant?
Burton.
Burton. Yes. Right. Of what state, Mr.?
Of Ohio.
Yes. Is he a Cleveland man, do you know? I think he is.
I don't know.
A member of a very distinguished group. Yes. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3. Thank you, Mr. Henderson, for helping to enliven this great party at Cleveland. Tonight, the H.J. Hines Company has paid out, I think, $114 in war bonds and stamps and 2 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Next week, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will be back in New York, and they will be supported first by John Hersey, foreign correspondent and author of the best-selling book, Into the Valley. Mr. Hersey, at one time, was the secretary of our second guest, the great novelist Sinclair Lewis, whose new book, Gideon Planish, is now sweeping the country. Remember, send your questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, at 570 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now, Ben Brower.
The H.J. Hines Company invites you to sit in with the experts again next week at this same time. And remember that at any time, you can be an expert in food buying by looking for the Heinz Keystone label, your assurance of first quality in tasty, full-flavored foods. The program came...